God, that rich Donald Sutherland voice. I love it.
Wow.
Well, yeah, he has an excellent voice. I listened to him read The Old Man and the Sea.
Now, the voice you're listening to right now, who just said that, is Andrew W.K., who is our special guest. You're saying you heard Donald Sutherland read The Old Man and the Sea.
Yes.
Where did you hear him read that?
Books on Tape. He did an official release, and I highly recommend it. It's a great piece of classic American literature, of course, by Hemingway, and I had never read it. And I'd gone through an odyssey, a challenging experience. And
yeah.
One of my business partners said, yeah, it's just like Old Man in the Sea.
Yeah.
I said, oh, I probably should check that out.
Well, see, anytime anybody talks about The Old Man in the Sea, I always think of the Dirty Charades version of it, which is The Old Man in the Pea.
Oh.
Which I highly recommend.
Okay.
I highly recommend
that one. Who
voiced
that one?
I think it was Marla Gibbs voiced The Old Man in the Pea.
Of course it was Marla Gibbs.
Yeah, she did that one. So Andrew W.K. Is here. Now, Michelle is wondering what W.K. stands for.
White Knight.
No, it's not White Knight, no. Which is a good guess, though.
It's a very good guess.
Because you always wear white.
That is correct.
Yeah. It's actually Wilkes Crier.
Or Crier.
Oh, Crier?
You know, I wouldn't dare correct you, except my mom will probably be listening to this.
Okay.
And it's my dad's last name, and he would probably be listening to this.
Crier, like career. Crier.
K-R-I-E-R?
Like career. Yes, like a career in partying.
Yeah, a career in partying.
That's right.
So it's Andrew Wilkes Crier.
Yeah, see, that's why I abbreviate it, because it's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. And now you've got a new album out. Tell me the name of the album.
The album is You're Not Alone.
Not You Are Not Alone.
Correct.
You're Not Alone.
Contraction.
Was there a discussion to why you would use You're Not Alone as opposed to You Are Not Alone?
Michael.
Because you didn't want to be confused with Michael Jackson.
That's right. Didn't want to be mistaken.
Uh-huh.
No, out of respect.
So yeah.
If there's ever an easy tweak you can make to your work that helps it just stand on its own, but especially in that case, out of respect,
because
I'm not trying to tread on his sacred path.
Sure.
But also, I like contractions. It rolled off. If I was speaking to someone and telling them that they weren't alone, I would say, you know what? You're not alone. I wouldn't say, you are not alone.
Right.
Unless you're
alone.
Singing a song by Michael Jackson.
Exactly. You're not alone. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I listened to this album and it reminds me of Jim Steinman. Are you a fan of Jim Steinman?
Wow. That is, you're the first person who's asked me that in all the recent discussions I've had about the album. And I'm flabbergasted.
Would you have sex with me because of it? Wow. I know you're married. I'm married too.
I take that as a compliment.
So it cancels each other out.
We'll just, okay.
Because that's what I heard. Are you're a Jim Steinman fan?
I was told about Jim Steinman, much like you brought him up in relation to my music, before I had really been familiar. Of course, I had heard his work and not known what it was, like Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah.
Or Meatloaf
stuff. Yes.
It was hazy. I hadn't really had a direct encounter with the universe of Jim Steinman until people kept asking me, do you like Jim Steinman? I said, well, I better check it out. And that was years ago. That was around the time of my second album, or even my first album. And I did get to have dinner with him.
It
all came to a head. And we went out to dinner because I guess people thought we should meet and eat.
Yes.
And we ate meat.
Yes. Now, tell me about Jim Steinman, my dinner with Jim Steinman.
Voiced by
Marla Gibbs and Donald Sutherland. I would think he would kind of be, and respectfully, a kind of a weird, eccentric personality. Am I right?
He wasn't weird by my standards.
Uh-huh.
So what I often have found, and maybe you found this to be the case, and I find it right now, those that would be described by others as eccentric, I would say, oh, well, this is just a very straightforward person that I can relate to.
Sure.
So that either means that
it's your people.
That's how he felt to me. That's how you feel to me. I don't know if you've noticed that, but the people that are supposed to be the most intense or difficult or have a wide-ranging but maybe harsh reputation, I've usually found like, well, they were nice to me. I mean, I had a good time with them.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
He was very much like that. He loves music. Mm-hmm. He's obsessed with excess.
Yeah.
But excess as a spiritual sensation.
Right. His music has so much drama. And your new album has so much drama. It's sort of cinematic. And it's like an opera in a way where it's just big. It's big. And what did you guys talk about? Has he heard your music? Jim Steinman?
Well, he did that night because he came to see a concert that my band and I played see. Before we went to dinner. And he said, you know, people say that our music sounds the same. I don't think it sounds anything
alike. He said that?
Yeah. To liberate me from the weight of being in his shadow. I think he did it as a kindness. Because he probably was tired of people telling him when he was coming up that his music just sounded like this. Or, oh, I see what you're doing. You're just this guy.
Yeah.
He is singular.
Yeah.
And he wanted to give me the compliment of singularity. Even if, you know, I didn't earn it. But in his mind, he liberated me from the context of Steinman itself.
Steinmanism.
It's our new religion.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd sign up for that.
He said I sounded like the Beach Boys because it was all the songs were about fun, party. So that's a comparison I had never heard anyone make at that time, especially.
Well, no, the comparison between you and Jim Steinman really is the drama involved in the music. Do you have a favorite Jim Steinman song? There's so many. You know, Total Eclipse of the Heart, and then Two Out of Three Ain't Bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the Meatloaf stuff, and then of course,
did he do Bad Out of Hell?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
And of
Paradise
course,
by the Desperate Light is one of the best songs ever written in the history of music.
Just,
every moment of it, I like that. You look forward to the next moment that's coming up, and then there's the next moment that you forgot about a little bit.
Yes.
And you're playing along with the drama of the song, and it takes you through.
It tells you a story, full story.
Yeah, every emotional. Yeah.
What's the Celine Dion song?
It's all coming back to me.
It's all coming back to me. It's all coming back to me. So now tell me about this album. What was your inspiration? Now, obviously, partying is a major theme in your story.
It is my theme.
It is your theme.
It is my theme.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Southeast Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Lovely.
And
is it?
back me up. Ann Arbor's beautiful. Well,
you know, Ann Arbor is beautiful. It is beautiful.
Yes.
But the whole Michigan part of it, no tea, no shade. I've been there many times.
Ann Arbor is gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.
That's what the money is.
10,000 lakes, baby.
Yes.
Me. Give me some Kalamazoo and some Kellogg's cornflakes.
Oshkosh, bitch.
Where is Kellogg's from? What's the town again?
That's from Battle Creek.
Battle Creek.
Yeah.
Battle Creek.
Yeah, and I took a tour of the factory when I was a child.
You did. Did you masturbate in the corner?
No.
In the cornflakes?
Once I got home. Yeah.
You found some cornflakes in your pocket, and it aroused you.
How'd they get there?
To this day, yeah. Free sample.
But you weren't born in Michigan.
No, I was born out here in California. My mom's family is from California. My dad was teaching at UCLA, or actually Stanford. I was born in Stanford.
Oh.
Then get your story straight, Andrew.
Which one was it, Andrew?
Yeah,
it was Stanford. I used to think it was Palo Alto. I've had a lot of confusion about my own life.
That's okay.
And then when I was four, we moved to Ann Arbor because my dad started teaching at University of Michigan.
Yeah.
Great
school. Did you always have this rich voice?
No.
Oh, it's from shouting and screaming.
I was trying to sing last night, and it was out of my range a bit.
Yeah.
So it fried me a little bit.
Right.
But I'm hydrating still. I'm still getting going.
No, drink up.
I didn't get up that early.
You did not get up that early. How early do you normally get up?
Well, I'd like to have at least an hour before I have to go and do things.
Yeah.
But I think I should have had 2 hours today.
Probably, yeah. So, okay. So now you were in Ann Arbor. How did you start your career?
Well, piano lessons. So I think right as we moved, well, actually, my dad was taking piano lessons when I was born.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a piano in the house. He, as you might imagine, was having some kind of midlife crisis where learning how to play piano was one of the activities that was going to make him feel better.
Why does it have to be a crisis for him to want to play piano?
Because he was going through a tumultuous time. So I'm looking at it in a sentimental way as him reaching out to something like music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I've seen photos of me standing at the piano at 1 and 2 and trying to play and sitting on his lap and playing the piano. And clearly, before I even learned to do much anything else, I was starting to learn how to play piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I took lessons once we moved to Michigan, starting at age 4 and a half, 5.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my musical encounter.
And were you in Michigan by the time you were 15?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so that means you are from Michigan. But it's
wait a minute. How does that work?
Well, because usually around the time it's you're like 15, after your bar mitzvah, you are who you are.
So I can say I'm from Michigan.
You're from Michigan.
Okay.
You are from Michigan. But what's interesting is that I know Canada's on the other side of the border, close to Michigan.
It is.
But you do outs.
No, I don't do a boot.
You don't do a boot, but it's very close. You have
there's a Canadian.
There's some Canadian stuff going on.
We're very close to Windsor. There's the Great Lakes.
Oh, you're that close to Windsor?
Well, in Detroit, yeah. That's
Yeah, but that's there. But your Ann Arbor is way south.
No, it's 45 minutes away.
Oh, so wait a minute. Hold up, Mr. Lover.
45 Windsor? Minutes from Detroit.
Oh, so you're 45. So yeah, you're basically in Canada.
It's southeast Michigan, but then you have Wisconsin. My dad's from Wisconsin.
Okay.
He lived in North Dakota as well, where it was even closer to Canada. My wife's whole family's from Illinois. So there's a strong magnetic vortex of intensity in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why you talk like this if you're from there.
Yes. And I guess that's why you live in New York and in Los Angeles.
Well, when you said, is it in regards to Michigan?
Yeah.
I related to that.
Yeah. No, I've spent a lot of time in Michigan, and it is very beautiful.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. My father-in-law's from Bad Axe. Which is here.
Bad Axe. Wow. I've never even seen a good axe.
Exactly.
Yeah. What a name, right?
So Bad Axe on like a pig farm. But nonetheless, why would you be spending a lot of time in Michigan?
Well, I was asked.
That's a lot of time?
Well, no. I was going to do a list of the time.
Okay, go.
Twice I was asked by the Queen of Soul to come and perform at her birthday. One was a Christmas party. One was her birthday party. Aretha Franklin. If there are any
the
questions,
kids, the children.
And I went. It was in Birmingham.
Birmingham. Yeah.
Birmingham, which is north of Detroit. It was a suburb. I've lived in Georgia. I've lived in California. I've lived all over. I've never been in a more racist place.
Oh, no.
Never in my life.
In Birmingham, Michigan.
I had a little time. I went shopping at the stores there.
And you learned the hard
Every store I walked in, people were like looking at me cross eyed, like, bitch, what you doing in here?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
For real.
I swear. And I'm a very sensitive person.
Did you go back with your bags and say, big mistake?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. No, because I like to shop, you know. Meanwhile, but it caught me as weird. And also,
that was the first time.
That was the first two times. But I used to work at Fox's in Detroit, was a club.
Sure, that's not Jersey City?
No.
Okay.
This was, I think it was called the Foxes. Well, I'm thinking of the Fox Theater, which I've worked at many times in Detroit.
Yes, a beautiful place.
Yeah, but there was another, I think it was a club called Foxy's or something in Detroit that I worked at all the time.
Okay.
Doing clubs and stuff.
Okay.
And when did you leave Detroit? I mean, Michigan.
As quickly as I could.
Okay.
So you're in New York now?
Well, I don't really live anywhere now. Yeah. I'm back to free
range.
Where's
your wife?
I'm free range.
Yes.
She's wherever I am or in the
She travels
nearby.
With you?
As much as possible.
And you're still married?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We met because I was looking for a hype woman or a band member that could join my band and not be tethered to an instrument and headbang free range style around the stage. And I'd been looking for that for years, and I couldn't find anyone that was hardcore enough, man or woman. No one could throw down, I felt, as hard as I could. And then I was seeing a heavy metal singing teacher for weekly lessons, and the young woman who had the lesson right before me was Sherry. And the rest is party history.
Sherry Lilly.
Sherry. Who loves you and is...
I love her.
...here in spirit.
Yes.
Steve Perry wrote a song about Sherry, you know?
Yes. She likes that song. She,
Oh, I get it now. Yes.
Thank you.
You'll be here all week.
He sings it, pronounces it Sherry versus Cherie, which sometimes it could be pronounced.
Yeah, because he mispronounced it. Because your wife's name is Cherie.
No, it is Sherry.
It is Sherry.
He said it right. Sherry.
Look, Sherry, or I would take Cherie from you any day. You can call her Cherie.
So let's just clarify this.
Cherie is a different name.
Okay.
So,
I agree.
Okay, so let's clarify this for her sake.
Let's clarify.
Let me hear you pronounce your wife's name.
Sherry Lilly.
But he's saying it with some weird Michigan.
He's saying sheer.
I have a canker sore on my tongue.
That's a good excuse.
You're
from Michigan. It's Sherry.
Oh,
Sherry.
Now, you're saying it like New York.
No. Sherry.
There's an A in there.
Sherry.
You see, Michelle is saying it in New York where you go, Sherry. Sherry. Yeah,
How would you say it?
Sherry.
There you go.
Sherry.
You would not say Sherry.
There you go.
I'm from San Diego. We say Sherry.
No, you're not going to say Sherry.
Sherry.
Do you guys not hear that's Midwestern? It's Sherry.
Wait.
No, it's Sherry.
Okay. Now, listen.
Like,
Andrew's
Sherry
manager
is
here. Andrew's manager. You're listening
to
us.
First.
He's from Northern California.
Okay.
That's right.
How would you say it?
Okay. He doesn't have a microphone. You'd say it like the way
you'd say Sherry?
He'd say Sherry. Like Sherry. In California, we do hard R's.
Yeah, that's right. I noticed that.
So we do hard R's. In New Jersey and New York, they do this thing like with like there's a club out here, a country and western club called Harry's Oil Can.
Oil Can Harry.
Oil Can Harry's. But see, the New York way to say it is Oil Can Harry. Heavy.
I don't say heavy.
You see what I did with? That's how you do it.
That's not how I say it.
Did you see what I did with my R?
A V and an H.
Yeah,
in
yeah,
the,
yeah.
Okay. But that's a different. That's like New York. New Jersey would say oil can Harry's.
Heavy.
Sherry. Yeah. Sherry.
You'd say Sherry.
Sherry.
Yeah, Sherry.
Sherry. You're saying Sherry.
Oil Sherry. Can Harry's. We went down to Sherry's.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I would say oil can.
But we don't
Harry's.
Say Sherry.
Harry.
There is a contraction. There's a tightening. It's right. almost uncomfortable.
It is. It's very uncomfortable.
Harry, Sherry,
I can hear
it's
when
open.
I, when my sister Rosie calls me on the phone, I get to hear what my California accent is because really? It's very hard. You hear what I'm doing. Like it's crunchy. It's oil can Sherry.
Oil can Harry.
Oil can Harry. But we've got Andrew W.K. here. He's got a new album called You're Not Alone. And I want to know, who is he talking to? You're Not Alone. We're going to ask him all of that when we come back after this break. I think everybody knows that sleep is your best defense against being ill or being...
The dark arts.
The dark arts. Sleep is when your body heals itself. And that's why Boll & Branch are very important to this equation.
Yeah, we're talking about Boll & Branch sheets, you guys. They are amazing. You guys complain about not being able to sleep. You don't like the way your sheets feel on your body. Well, everything Boll & Branch makes, from bedding to blankets, it's made from pure 100% organic cotton, which means that they start out super soft and they get even softer over time. It's my favorite thing about them, you guys. I have a beautiful gray sheet set. Uh-huh. So lovely. And you guys can get $50 off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with the promo code RU. Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L and branch.com, promo code RU for $50 off your first set of sheets.
I love the concept of Talkspace because therapy has been so valued to me in my whole life. And I wish I'd found it earlier. Same. I wish I'd started when I was, you know, 18, 17, which was a really trying time, by the way.
Right.
You know, but it's available to everyone now.
It is. Talkspace is the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. That means you can improve your mental health even if you've had trouble making time for it in the past. Because a lot of people say, I don't have time for therapy. Well, bitch, with Talkspace, you have the app, you're in your car, you're stuck in traffic anyway.
Yeah.
Why not get a therapy session while you're driving to where you're going?
Exactly. Or waiting for the bus on the subway. You know, you can make time for it because it's very valuable to your health on this planet.
Not only valuable, necessary.
Necessary. Navigating this life.
What was that word I was trying to say?
Navigating.
I was saying necessary and necessity. So I was going, I couldn't get it out. Necessity. Get something off your chest whenever you need to. Talk about everyday challenges at work. Talk about everyday challenges at home. Just chat about life. There's no extra commutes, no leaving the office, no judgments. And remember that therapy isn't just about venting your innermost secrets. Like, a lot of times we're talking about like how long it took you to get to the father issues.
Yes.
You have to work through the regular stuff to get there. It's not always you go into the therapy and you're like,
right.
It doesn't happen.
No,
like
because those sort of things appear in places, they're hidden in places that I wasn't even aware of. And it took me opening up to another person to be able to figure it out for myself.
Correct. The Talkspace platform is over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges we all face. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/RU. Use the offer code RU to get $30 off your first month. It's Talkspace.com/RU. Use that offer code RU to get $30 off your first month. It's Talkspace.com/RU.
See what I'm doing like this? Look at my mouth. Harry.
But I'm not saying Harry.
Yeah, it's a V.
It's like a flappy.
Harry. Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah,
it's Harry.
Yeah.
No,
it's
there's no, this isn't
no, there's no delineation. It's
but
no
who's
delineation.
Saying that?
I'm
I don't
saying
say that.
That. We're back with Andrew W.K. We found out that the W.K., Michelle, stands for
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
No, it stands for Wilkes. It's
Crier.
Not.
Career. Career.
Like a career.
Career.
Like a career in the arts.
Wilkes-Career.
Wilkes Crear.
Yeah.
Wilkes Crear.
Yes.
And I read something that his teacher decided to call him W.K. because there were other Andrews in the class. Why don't you just beat the other Andrews up and have them change their names?
Punching was not permitted.
Uh-huh.
So we had to come up with more clever ideas, more... like nicknames or initials.
Yes. Yes.
And there were a lot of Andrews, and I've been meeting more.
What about, why don't you call yourself Andy?
My mom said, no.
No Andy.
No Andy.
And why not
Drew.
Just
what about Drew? What about Drew?
That was even worse.
Uh-huh.
Wow. No Drew, no.
Andrew.
She said, I named you Andrew, and that is what you will be called.
Oh, what a task member. Yeah. The taskmaster mom is. Yes.
I didn't care, but she laid it down.
Are you friends with her?
Yes.
You like her?
Yes. They've been very supportive.
They're still together?
Yes, they are.
They like each other.
Enough, even with my dad being as he is.
What's the secret? Booze?
Michigan.
Booze?
My mom.
She's the secret.
She has to be.
Yeah.
The patience. And also... To let it go to some extent, you have to come up with all kinds of techniques to
ain't that the truth
with another person.
How long have you been married?
That's a good question.
To Chavy.
I have not been good at timelines. This is why 10 years went by between my album recording and my last album, because I didn't even know that 10 years had gone by. I think 10 years.
Did you wake up with blood in your panties?
No, on my nose.
On your nose, exactly. Perfect. Yes, yes. So now the album is called You're Not Alone. Who are you talking to?
Myself, I think. Mm. And I can't escape the awareness that most of my work is only able to happen if it's somehow addressing my own
ain't that the issue. Truth.
And not consciously, but...
Yeah. No, we all do that. We're all narcissistic in that way. No, it's true. But the thing is, you know, on our show, I say, if you can't love yourself, you're going to love somebody else. And I say, you know, this and that, all these affirmations. They're for one person, really. Mm. They're for me.
Yeah.
I need to remind myself
exactly
of this stuff.
I fully relate. That's what started my whole quest with music, was to cheer myself up.
Yes.
Because music was the one thing out of many things that I liked and many sources of joy that always worked. There was never a time when I would go to music feeling down and it wouldn't work its magic on me.
Yeah, music and cornflakes. what was the first unit of music you possessed? You see how I phrased that?
Yes, you did.
Because I would normally say, what was your first 45?
No, but you're
what's your
much
first
younger than us.
Single?
How old are you, Andrew?
Well, you're 79?
Yeah, so I had records.
Oh, you're a baby.
The first record I bought, where I requested to go and buy it, and it had to be driven by my mom to
Meijer. I'm getting Olivia Newton-John or Xanadu.
No, but We Are the World. So,
that's a great record.
I was blown away by, I felt emotions, you know, where I couldn't even know what that was. I was moved. I was moved by all these singular people coming together in a mass, the sound of all these voices becoming one, and the individual identities popping out in those verses and then being lost in the chorus. I'm getting chills just right now.
I know you are. And whose voice stuck out to you? Was it LaToya Jackson?
I love all the dynamics. I think
ridiculous.
Bob Dylan's voice, it's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives.
You know who stands out for me is Cyndi Lauper.
She's out.
She does. Yeah.
You know. Which, everyone does.
By the way, you know, in that Quincy Jones, was it the Quincy Jones article? They talk about that she was a mess on that thing. Like, she was so, she was
diva-ish,
and she wanted to do her part over and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the results speak for themselves.
The results speak for themselves. Yes. And here we are at Kinky Boots.
Look at, yeah.
So, you know, she's doing something right over there.
She's amazing.
You know? So that was your first record. And do you have brothers and sisters?
I have a younger brother. He's 4.5 years younger.
Does he like to party?
Oh, yes.
He's a party.
I look up to him.
Uh-huh.
He possesses the virtues that I'm striving towards. He somehow was born with them.
Yeah.
So he's gifted. You've seen this happens sometimes.
Yeah. Yes.
Where someone who can be gifted with athletic ability or with music, some people are gifted in character.
Sure. Yeah. So you both carry the party gene.
Yes.
Yeah. And so now this whole obsession with partying, now do you feel like it is sort of, you've sort of put yourself in a corner to where you always have to party, because you know, when you go out and all your fans see you, they want to say, you party on, dude. Party.
Well,
sometimes
said.
You don't want to feel party.
What don't do you
feel
like you don't want to party anymore?
And that's when I have to party even harder.
Okay. Mm. Okay. I
painted myself into the most spectacular corner that I could imagine.
Yeah.
Does Shiri party?
Oh, yes.
Why do you say it like that?
Shiri's taught me a
lot
about, she's taught me a lot about partying and how to party on planes that I hadn't even fathomed.
Party on planes.
Party on planes, I like that.
Well, airplanes and, you know, material and non-material planes.
Sure, yeah. And, okay, so imagine I've never partied, which is, I know, it's very difficult to imagine. But
is.
What is my first, what's the, okay, let's see, what's the second? First, I go out and I go to Spotify and I go to Tower Records and to
Tower Records,
to Amazon, and I get the album You're Not Alone. The second thing I do is what?
You get
a white t-shirt and white jeans.
Actually, I'll start by saying,
do you do all white, like a seat?
Yeah, he does.
This
he does.
Is my look.
That's his okay. look.
Well, that's like look. Beige.
Well, it's been hard-earned party stains.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's the point. This is my canvas, and okay. I'm going to decorate it with you know, dismay and chaos.
Yeah. Okay.
The first thing, actually, I would say is that you can free yourself from these rules and guidelines and even pointers or recommendations. Mm-hmm. It's a mindset. Mm-hmm. And the mindset is simply saying, if we can celebrate Friday night because the work week's over, we can celebrate our birthday because we're glad we lived for another year, we can celebrate the fact that we were born at all and have a reason to party 24/7. That doesn't mean it's easy.
Right.
Doesn't mean there won't be times when it feels like that's the least rational thing to celebrate, that maybe life isn't good by default. Mm-hmm. But we're choosing to say, well, if we don't know if life really is good or bad, if we don't even know what the meaning of life is, we're going to decide on a mindset that makes it as enjoyable and as meaningful as possible. And out of respect for it, celebrate it.
So we're taking a page out of the iconic License to Ill album.
Yes.
You got to fight for your right to party.
Yes, you do. For your own ability to enjoy life.
Agreed.
Absolutely. And you know what? That is also a page of the Ascended Master, Pollyanna, Tammy Faye.
Yes.
All of the Ascended Masters will tell you the exact same thing, is that you can create the life that you want. You've labeled it partying, but what you're talking about is being in a state of Zen, of being in a state, a self-induced state of enlightenment. You know, because we all have that choice. We make a choice every second of our lives to be in heaven or hell.
Yes.
And you've chosen heaven. Heaven just happens to have a bitchin' speaker system and white jeans and a
white
t-shirt.
Are rad. They're not easy.
And a bloody nose.
And a bloody nose.
Because the bloody nose is all the negative vibes
I love
streaming
it.
Out of my brain once and for all.
It's a great look. Oh, I just want to talk a little bit about the white jeans and the white shirt for a minute, because in doing so, I mean, I knew of you and I knew of the look that you have. Can we just talk about being a sex symbol for a minute?
All right.
Because
if you must,
you know, I know Michelle was thinking it because she knows what I think.
Correct.
And she knows that
I can read his mind.
She can read my mind. You are a sexy motherfucker.
But I can sit here and say he is sexy.
He is sexy. Yeah. He is sexy. Them jeans on and that t-shirt.
And it's the kindness.
There's a kindness and sweetness in the voice and everything. Yeah.
It is not often said, but to have it be said by anyone, to have it said by you too, means more than it coming from a lot of people.
Oh, you're sweet.
That's I really mean that. So my wife says it to me and I say, well, I don't think people think
she's sexy
that.
Too.
And I don't, you know, that's not what this is about, even if it was. But then there's other times when I get frustrated, like, why can't I connect with more women or more people, you know, other sides of an audience?
Yeah.
And they don't see that that appeal. They think I look haggard and filthy, which may be somewhat the case.
But that's sexy to some people.
There you go.
Are you kidding?
Found out that it is.
Yeah, so, it certainly is.
The bacteria and the stains.
We like that.
The uric acid.
Yes.
It's
well, you know, you just said something interesting about connecting with a bigger audience. Do you want to be Michael Jackson famous?
You know, he had such an impact on me, as everyone did. He created the archetype of a superstar.
Yes, he did. He certainly did.
For my lifetime. And is part of some larger mythology that is irresistible, at least as an aspiration to create a drive. Because, of course, I have to accept the fact that I may never reach that level or many other levels beneath Michael Jackson's status. But the possibility that the entertainment industry dangles out in front of you, the alluring sense that anything is possible. Mm-hmm. And if you just keep your stick on the ice or you stay at home base and you keep giving everything you have, then if you're meant to, your destiny will take over.
We talk about that a lot.
Absolutely.
The stick with itness, whereas most people have been like, fuck, this is not working.
Right. You have to stick with it. You got to stay in the game.
You got to stay in the game.
If it's going to happen. Also, you know, listen, also, if you want to perfect a handstand, you got to be willing to take a fall too.
Correct.
There you go.
Correct.
You know?
Do you have babies?
Yes, I have two.
And how old are they?
Well, actually, you know,
do you not know how old they are? Because it sounds like
that falls into the realm of timeline issues that I struggle with.
Okay.
Yes,
around the age of.
I didn't know the order of the months until I was 18.
Wait, wait. Okay. You didn't know the
Michigan
order of the
school system? What?
This
must
some,
be the water from Flint.
It's a vortex.
Yes. Oh, you got it.
The Flint water.
That could be that. Yeah. The lead poisoning.
You have young children.
Yes, I do. But I don't talk about... There's areas of my life that I've
you
had
don't
this
have
instinct to,
but, to
keep private.
And you right. can. But the party mentality...
Does the partying always include some booze, perhaps?
It can or it cannot. That's the beauty of it. That's another rule. When I was in high school, for example... There was so much pressure being put on myself and others from all different sides to drink, mm-hmm. to not drink. Mm. There was a straight edge faction that was very strict about not drinking, and not because it was not fun or not healthy, but because it was part of some, you know, dogmatic system they had designed. And it also went with how you were supposed to dress and within the dressing, what days you were supposed to wear. You know these regimens.
Sure.
And none of it was fun.
Yeah.
It was stressful and it wasn't fun. And no matter what you did, you're always letting someone else down.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then you start to think, well, what do I want to do? And I'm just going to do this for me. So when I had this chance to promote partying, I didn't want there to be any guidelines that would at least start feeling like those rules again. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you're a poser. You're not doing it right. Or you can't even, you're not even allowed to come to this party because you don't like X, Y, and Z.
Right.
I'm here to destroy all that.
Yeah. Hence your free range party.
Free range.
Free range, baby.
Yeah, green
now,
fed.
My favorite solo Michael Jackson songs are Smooth Criminal. I like Another Part of Me. I like the CNC Music Factory remix of Black or White.
No comment. Mm. Do you like Bad? Because I think Bad's an amazing record too.
Well, I like it, but it's not what it's not one of my go-to things. What about Rock With You? No, it's not one of my go-to.
Really?
My go-tos are Smooth Criminal, Another Part of Me.
Another Part of Me is amazing.
And I like the Steve Silk Hurley remix of Remember the Time.
Great, ooh. Great.
Yeah, from the Dangerous
that whole
album.
Off the Wall album. Made me happy.
That's what I was going to say was Dangerous.
Yeah.
The album or the song?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. But there's highlights on that album, and there's an atmosphere on that album that is sort of the culmination of a certain era and of a certain level of intensity that Michael had been leading up to.
Yeah.
And it was the him at the height of certain powers.
Mm-hmm.
Some that maybe could be said to be at their best earlier, but he didn't stop developing them.
Right.
And his artistic vision and confidence in his vision was right. at its peak, I think, at Dangerous.
So when I asked that question, you love the album Dangerous, but what are your top three go-to Michael Jackson songs, solo career?
I would probably say...
I don't want to put you on the spot. Yeah, Michelle, do you have your top three? You said Rock With Me.
Rock With You. That whole Off the Wall album for me was pivotal.
Yeah, it definitely. Yeah.
The slow one that was on there, the crying one.
The falling. Oh, She's Out of My Life.
Oh, my
God. You really? You go to that, Michael Jackson?
I love that. I love all Michael Jackson. Jackson 5, Michael. For me, that was the first solo album.
Yeah.
He
had done solo on Motown, but as an adult,
his first solo album was Off the Wall. That album was so pivotal for me growing up in Central New Jersey.
Yeah.
Every song on there was a smash after smash.
Yeah, it was
great. And I loved Bad.
Yeah.
I told you that's where he entered my unconscious as a sex symbol to me.
You wake up with blood in your panties?
Yes, I did. And other things.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I had sexual dreams about Michael Jackson from the Bad era.
Wow. Yeah. Right. Because Bad has, PYT is not on Bad, is it?
That's on Thriller.
That's on Thriller. Yeah.
Another great.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, iconic.
I like Jam. I want to put.
Oh, yeah.
I like that song, Jam.
So you like the Teddy Riley stuff.
Jam.
I was at the age where I had more experience with music and even recording by the time Dangerous came out. And so I was able to listen to it with a lot of detailed attention. And, you know, he was always upping the ante and he got really obsessed with that New Jack Swing beat, which he never really got over.
Right.
You notice that?
Yeah. Because even on the Teddy, Dark Child stuff, it has,
lose it.
Yeah.
He just got addicted to that.
But it is great.
It is. It makes all he wants to do is
beat,
you know, a dance music, something that makes that dance come out of him.
Well,
right?
Apparently New Jack Swing is coming back. Apparently the K-pop stuff, the Korean pop music,
K-pop's great.
I haven't heard enough of it to do it. Now, apparently you're big in Asia, and that's like a
David Hasselhoff.
It's like a David Hasselhoff thing.
It's big in Germany.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a thing to be big in Japan.
Yeah,
and I did experience some version of that.
Yeah,
Tom Waits even has a song called
"Big in Japan."
I'm big in Japan.
Uh huh.
Because this is how it seems to be a phenomenon that occurs to certain maybe unlikely artists where they're not so big
right.
elsewhere. And then yeah. you find out in this somewhat remote or isolated cultural sphere, they're massive.
What do you think that is?
I don't know. They're in Japan, before fandom became so broadly accepted here in the United States, mm-hmm. the idea of being that it was okay to be passionate about sure. things, that you wouldn't be ridiculed for being even obsessed with certain pop culture phenomenon, that was the default cultural atmosphere of Japan, mm-hmm. since the start, or since the end of World War II, since sure. they started rebuilding. There was this kind of optimism and enthusiasm where they would turn to experiences and completely lose themselves and devote themselves to it. Mm-hmm. An artist, a TV series, a song, technology. So part of the identity that I've been able to see reflected in all types of people, from businessmen to young kids, is that you pick what you're going to be a fan of, mm-hmm. and that's who you are.
Yeah.
And you'd say, well, I'm a fan of this, so that's my thing. Like, I'm a comic book fan. I'm a pop music fan.
Mm-hmm.
So some people decided to be Andrew WK fans, and it was a small but passionate group, and that's enough to sustain you in that realm.
That's
it was
awesome.
Amazing. Yeah.
That's fabulous.
They party very hard.
We're going to take a break right now. We've got Andrew WK. We're going to talk about his new album, You're Not Alone, and more partying. Now, ZipRecruiter, now explain it to me again, Michelle. This is a company where people who are looking for employees can go post their job requirements, mm-hmm. and those people then go to ZipRecruiter and get themselves a job.
Yeah.
And the same is true. If you're looking for a job, you can also go to ZipRecruiter.
Yes, correct. But really what it's for is like companies that are looking for people to work for them, but they don't want people calling the office. They don't want people
yes.
sending their resumes in. So people are posted up here. So let's say VH1 is looking for, you know, 20 people to work in their camera department.
Okay.
They would then post the job and ZipRecruiter will, within 24 hours, will give them all these people that match the camera operator
and
position.
Their criteria. Yes.
Work.
Okay.
And that's how it works with ZipRecruiter. It's unbelievable. It's a super powerful database, super powerful technology. They efficiently match the right people to the job you're looking for better than anybody else. They learn what you're looking for. They identify the people with the right experience so you don't have to sift through all the resumes.
Yeah, because that takes so much time. And then why not just cut out that part of it and get straight to the qualified employees.
Exactly. And in fact, over 80% of the jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. So none of the crap that you have to go with it, with the emails, calls to your office, blah, blah, blah.
What with the emails? What with the juggling of the calls at your office?
Do I look like a clown at the circus?
Well.
Right. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, What's the Tea listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. And that's right. We said a four-letter word starting with F, and that word is free. Just go on ZipRecruiter.com/Ru. That's ZipRecruiter.com/RU. One more time again, ZipRecruiter.com/Ru.
We are back with Andrew WK. He's talking about all things Andrew WK and his new album, which is on Spotify right now, and it's wherever you get music. What do you think about all that? You know, the fact that you have to tour to actually recoup the money for the album, which you said it's taking you 10 years to do this album?
Yeah, that wasn't by design.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that it had taken that long.
Yeah.
The party gods, I turn myself over to them, right? I really do. And whenever I try to plan or make my special little idea and map it out with goals and directions, it all just evaporates.
Yeah.
And when I turn myself over to some instinct that usually is very irrational and doesn't make any sense, doesn't involve conscious thought, 10 years goes by, but I get an album out of it. So
yeah.
I'm not complaining.
Because you're on the road. How often, how much of the year are you on the road?
It varies. This year it's going to be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The next year it's going to be a lot. And the thing is, I love it.
Yeah.
I love touring. I did from the very beginning.
And that's why you're hoarse right now, because you had a show last night?
No, I was singing on a recorded song.
You were recording?
Yeah, I was recording. On
and
someone
how often
song.
Are you out here in Los Angeles?
Well, quite a bit, because my manager's here, the record label's here. As you know, much of show business is here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the rest is in New York City, and then maybe scattered about a few other places.
Do you have a place out here?
No.
No, you stay in a hotel when you're here.
I do, and I really enjoy that. I like hotels.
Yeah, I love hotels.
People want me to rent a long-term apartment or Airbnb. I will never do it again. I won't even stay at friends or family.
Yeah.
I love hotels so much.
Yeah. When I was in the group, we would come, we would get excited to come here and we'd stay at one hotel called Le Parc. I told
you. Oh, yeah, I know Le Parc.
And I didn't even know it was still in existence.
Yeah.
But each room was like an apartment.
Yeah.
It had a sunken
living room.
The
yes.
bedroom was like behind Drake. Yes. Like yeah. it was extra.
I know that. Yeah. I know
think
that
I've
place.
Stayed there.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
I think
it's in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had a sunken living room.
Yes. It was like a Three's Company apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved it.
I love about
sorry, that's very old reference.
Rooms. Everything is right there.
Yes.
I don't have to walk downstairs and
You're not beholden to friends or their sleep patterns, because when you're a performer, a lot of times you get off stage and it takes you a few hours to, come down.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're staying with friends or something, it's very difficult to do that. And then, you want that separation.
You understand. They don't understand. They feel they're so sweet. A friend or family member will say, Andrew, I'm sure all you want right now is a real bed and a home-cooked meal. And I said, nothing could be further than the truth. But thank you for offering.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So you live in New York City, but you're on the road all the time.
I am free range. I don't live anywhere.
Okay.
I have storage spaces.
Uh-huh.
I have hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Tour buses. I've lived in New York for a long time.
Yeah.
But before I moved there and lived there, or actually even after I'd moved there, I free ranged. Which is just living on the road, because it doesn't make sense for me to pay monthly rent for a place that I'm not at for months and months and months.
And
at
where
a
do
time.
You get your mail?
Business manager.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now, I met you a few years ago on a talk show. Was it Fox something?
Take Part Live.
What's that?
What was it called?
I think it was called Take Part Live.
Huh.
I think.
Yeah.
It was like a news program.
It's a news program with Meghan McCain.
Meghan McCain was the host.
And that Sorbatov, that he's on MSNBC.
Is it Joseph? Is that his name?
No, he's an MSNBC reporter.
He is, yeah.
Which I have on 24/7.
I see an S, I see an O, I see a B, I see maybe another... something.
He was very nice.
He was lovely.
Very professional.
Lovely. And you're on that show, Red Eye, a lot.
I've appeared on there. Yeah, that's how they got me on there. I've done sort of news shows at times, which blows my mind.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I guess I offer something that they aren't getting from any other type of guest. I can't explain it. I even went on MSNBC one time, and I couldn't believe they let me in the door.
Yeah.
I'm elevated.
Why? Have you seen some of the people on there?
Yeah, I guess.
Come on now.
I strive to, as much as someone can in this realm that we're working in, to offer something specific and unique. Of course. I mean, that's just business, right?
Yeah.
To try to be singular, and if someone is looking for that particular quality, they can call on me.
Yeah.
So if they're looking for the party angle on things, I will offer
that. This is my first time meeting you. I'm not going to lie. I don't know.
Of course.
Don't know. Mm-hmm. And what I get from you, and it hits very deep inside, is you are a nerd. Deep down inside, I feel a nerddom coming from you. Am I wrong?
Well, what is a nerd?
Nerd to me is the best thing in the world.
Are you one?
I am one. I grew up with a brother who played D&D 24/7.
D&D is that
Dungeons and Dragons.
Uh-huh.
And there's a special sweetness that comes with the nerddom and the nerd kingdom.
Whoa.
And most every nerd is very smart. They want to learn as much as they can. They have conviction with everything that they say. And I feel like that I'm getting a little bit of that.
Well, those are all great qualities that I would strive to imbue in myself and in the people around me. I don't know how to play Dungeons and Dragons, but that doesn't mean I don't admire it.
And I can teach you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
There also you're very articulate and you have a definite point of view.
Yeah.
And you're actually quite lovely, because when I met you on that show, they played one of my songs. I think it's Sissy That Walk.
It was Sissy That Walk.
And this motherfucker knew every word.
I love it.
I'm like, who is that? Because I'd known of you. Friends had told me about you years before that. But when you did that, I said, I am in love with this man.
It's also a really great song.
It's a fun song.
It's one of your
it's
best.
A fun song. Because your wife told you about that song. Is that how it worked?
No, I had seen it on Drag Race.
Ah.
And I just loved it. Because you were using it in those walking scenes. So it had a real moment to shine over and over again.
Right.
And the fly, 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 fly. It's a great piece.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Now, you actually appear in your wife's song Work, which is more on the dance tip, which is different from what your own music is like.
Yes.
So when you guys are at home, that rare moment when you guys are not on the road and you're at home or somewhere in a hotel, what music do you listen to? Who gets to decide what kind of music you listen to?
Well, I'd like to say we're both pretty open-minded, and I love the music that she likes, or that she loves. Dance music has always been a big inspiration for me because of the driving quality, yeah, and that it's designed to conjure up a kind of primal energy.
Yes, it
that's,
is.
That's
you
what
are
I
so
want.
On the note, and that's why it's dangerous to the public, because it what it does is it conjures up the Holy Spirit, and
it does.
People are afraid. People are afraid of the Holy Spirit because it's tribal, and
you release,
yeah, and it brings that up.
It's life force.
It mm-hmm. really is. It's the beat of the heart.
If you direct that, you can direct, and it's true that it is dangerous, and that it's like a weapon. Or a great power, you can use it for good, mm-hmm, or in some people's minds for bad. It can compel you to lose your sense of right and wrong in a way that can be very liberating, mm-hmm, and enlightening, or in a way that could be threatening to the fabric of civilization.
You're right.
But that's what's built civilization as well, is
yes,
that same life, that will.
That's right.
And if to harness it is our goal, is our quest as humanity. To celebrate it is what music allows us to do, to get in touch with it in a way that's completely for the sake of itself. Like, I'm going to feel the feeling of being alive, mm-hmm, right now because, mm-hmm, of this song,
yeah,
and how I get to bask in that for these 3 or 10 minutes if it's a dance song.
I love that you said that, you know, because when you watch old movies or, you know, old tribes, they're all dancing around a fire to some beat that's, mm-hmm, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
And you understand the power of that. Where do you think, I know your parents are academics, where do you think these philosophies you have, which I love, where does that come from?
Desperation.
Okay.
To have some point of perspective or a lens with which to view my life or my experiences in a way that doesn't make them as painful, or even if they are painful, extracts value out of them.
To make sense of it.
To make sense of it. I can't help it. In fact, it's actually, to me, one of the most fun things to do is to think about life. I don't, yeah, know why. Actually, it's hard for me to imagine how you couldn't be doing that, even if you think you're not, because I meet people that say, I don't like to think about that stuff, or if I understanding seeking, numbing yourself out to the intensity of these very complex questions, but they're also very liberating, because if it's a question and we don't know, that doesn't have to be stressful or to cause anxiety, the not knowing. It can be a place to explore.
Are you able to leave a question that's unanswered, just to let it be? Because, you know, the compulsion is to put riddles into a box so that we figure them out. But some riddles just really can't be solved. Are,
yes,
you okay with some riddles not being solved and just sort of sitting, laying in the ether?
Yes.
You
absolutely
are okay.
Because I actually think that's what partying is. It's the space between the polarities where the friction is being created. Like a paradox isn't an end, it's a beginning,
mm-hmm,
and when something is bouncing from one extreme to the next and it rings true on both sides, it bounces back and forth and bouncing back and forth, and then you get this swirling ball,
yes,
of energy in there.
Yes,
that's the possibility.
I love it.
So they gotta hang in the air, and the questions have to be unanswered. We have to turn off that craving we have in our mind and let our heart connect with that swirling confusion,
mm-hmm,
and not be intimidated by it, but be inspired by it.
I love it. I love it. Now, tell me this. Earlier, you talked about meeting your wife at
Headbangers Ball.
Well, no.
Heavy
metal singing teacher in New York City,
that's
I'm
correct.
Assuming.
Yes.
What are the secrets to singing like AC/DC for night after night after night? How does someone do that?
I don't know.
You sing. You have a lot of force in your voice. It's way out there.
Pantera do it?
Exactly.
Well, how, he's gifted.
How many nights in a row can you perform to that intensity before your voice just says, I'm out, sorry? Yeah.
Like last night, I was blowing out, but it was for a very short vocal take.
Yeah.
There was an end in sight, so I was willing to
go there
and blow it out.
But
now I have this voice for today, so it maybe it was a bad decision. There is a level of control that you're trying to develop. That's what the singing teacher is, an amazing woman named Melissa Cross, who specifically works with vocalists who are what would be called screamers.
Yeah.
And whether it's a high scream or it's a low scream, she's trying to help you develop that sound in a way that doesn't damage and fry your vocal cords. But to me, it's only been the last even few months that I've started finally understanding the lessons that she was explaining to me. You have to experience them from the inside. You can be told how to do it and even understand how to do it. But until you actually feel the sensation of doing it correctly, it's very enlightening. You think, why couldn't I have done that 10 years ago? But singing for me was the final frontier of musical effort, because the music and playing piano and recording, that was all what I was, I guess, inclined to do.
You still play?
Oh, yeah, great. As much as possible. But singing was something I had to learn how to do in order to fulfill my role in Destiny. You know, I didn't want to be a singer, but I realized I was being called upon by the party gods to be the singer, so I better figure out how to get through this somehow.
No, I mean, we laugh about that, but that's
no,
so
I just,
true.
No, I can't, the party gods, I just love it.
No, it's so true, because, you know, people call the party gods many different things.
Yeah. Exactly.
It comes in many different guises and forms. Correct. But what's true about this is that the universe has sage direction that most people think, really? I couldn't possibly do that.
Correct. Well, but it happened to you.
It happened to me.
It happened to me.
But if you're willing to go along with and trust, then you're able to
fulfill
what is there for you.
And how strange is it to realize that your destiny might be something that you don't even really
That's
like?
Right.
You're not even really, you weren't interested
That's
in.
That's right.
I thought the way life worked is you came up with a dream based on what most appealed to your tastes at that particular time, and you set those goals and you pushed towards that dream. I'm going to make my dream come true. But sometimes, if not all the time, the dream is dreaming you and saying, I need someone to do this thing. I'm going to pick that person and I'm going to pull you towards your destiny.
And eight times out of 10, that dream won't come true, realistically. But there's other dreams that are waiting. But
desperately,
we're so caught up in the 90% of getting what we think we want that we don't see the really big stuff that's right under our noses.
Right, because they say that your big break happens many times throughout your career.
Yes.
But if it doesn't take the form and shape that you imagined
you
it to,
it.
You ignore it.
Yeah.
You don't realize.
I don't want that.
You know, because actually, when I met George, you know, I had always been attracted to men who were like my father, who were very charming and very unavailable
emotionally.
Yeah, and then when I met George, who was someone who was chasing me, I was like, I wasn't interested, you know. But then,
it was different. You were like, wait,
it was different. Yeah,
I have to chase you. What are you doing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So 2 months into just knowing him, I realized, you know what? I'm going to see what this is like. That was 24 years ago.
Exactly.
24 years ago. And, you know, and that you can apply that same philosophy to so many things. You have to keep an open mind for the party gods to say, shake your ass, bitch.
Yeah.
Put your back up into it, bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We've got Andrew WK. His new album is called You're Not Alone. It's fabulous. Got to go to Spotify right now. Got to go to Amazon. I don't know if you... Did you make hard copies
Amazon,
of it?
Amazon, Cabazon.
Yeah, CDs and vinyl.
CDs and vinyl.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's there for everybody. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more Andrew WK. Now, you know, Michelle, luxury sheets can cost over thousands of dollars, but you can get the same value at Boll & Branch for just a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah, not only same value, it's way better.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times with these luxury brands, what they don't have is 100% organic cotton.
That's right.
Literally, before Boll & Branch was a thing, I was looking all over the place for organic sheets, because if you think about it, the largest organ on your body is your skin. You're putting yourself freshly washed out of the, you know, bath or the shower onto these sheets.
Yeah, for many hours.
Why would you want chemicals all over your body?
Yeah, exactly.
Not with Boll & Branch, you guys. Their blankets, their sheets, everything they have is made from 100% organic cotton. It means that they start out super soft, but then you wash them, they get softer and softer. They're fantastic. If you guys want a great night's sleep, get started now on your Boll & Branch sheets. $50 off your first set of sheets. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code RU. So don't forget, BollAndBranch.com, promo code Rue.
Andrew WK is here. The album is called You're Not Alone. It's fantastic. Now, we were talking a minute ago about this vocal coach. Do you still do vocal exercises before you go on stage?
Warm-ups, yeah. Like stretching. It's I stretch up physically. I stretch up with the vocal cords. I don't necessarily stretch up mentally. That kind of happens on its own, that overwrought, intense feeling that you can't believe that in 10 minutes you're about to go do this thing and it's going to be happening to you. And
that you love.
That I love, and there's one, my mind is saying, if this was canceled right now and there was no show, that would be fantastic. And then my heart says, of course you don't want that. And there's this conflict between the fear that wants the easy way out and the heart that says, this is what you're going to do, whether you like it or not.
Right. So Michelle, translation is, my mind is telling me no,
but my body.
Well said.
Yeah. Many times that we'll sit and look at each other. It's happened many times over the years where we sit, look at each other and we go, we get to do this.
Yeah.
We get to do this.
Yeah.
We love this. Whether it's radio, we've said it in radio, we've said it in television.
Yeah.
And we are lucky, but we also saw those signs that we were just referring to.
Yeah.
We saw the crop circles.
Sure. Yeah. Where you think, can I really go out there and do it again?
Yeah, we can.
Or just even through just be human stuff, like getting a cold or something.
Oh, honey, that happens more times than not.
Yeah, because I can imagine you doing that intensity
you have
on stage when you catch a cold.
It's very rare because the adrenaline burns it out.
Yeah.
Right.
And then even if I have gone on stage, it's happened from time to time with a high fever and really, truly sick. And this feels like the hardest thing you could possibly do.
It's like the best show ever, right?
Well, it may not be the best show ever, but with all that sweating and not thinking, not being able to think about the sickness, next thing you know, the show's done and I'm not sick anymore.
Right.
And it's healing. And I don't take it as just a physical healing. It's a true healing.
Right.
And, you know, and some people don't believe in that, but when it happens to you, you can't deny it. When I went on stage as sick as a dog and I didn't lay down and go to sleep, but instead party as hard as I could, I think it's destiny saying, good, you did what you're supposed to do again. Another thing I noticed when you were talking about how lucky we are to get to do this and that we love it, it's even in the moments when my rational mind says, this is the worst, I hate this, this is just unbearable, it's so unpleasant, it's so stressful, there's a deeper part in my heart that's almost like a guardian angel saying to me, you know you love it. Mm-hmm. You love all this part of it too, and this is all part of this swirling dance that you're getting to do.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let yourself not love it.
Right.
Even when it's hard.
Well, that's true of just life in general.
Yes.
We were talking to someone earlier who had just had a heart attack, and the idea of pushing past some of the obstacles that you face.
Yeah.
You know.
Agreed. This is total non sequitur, but I have to ask, what, your tattoos are very specific. What do they mean? They're lines.
Well, I suppose they're a hollow type of specific because they have no meaning other than to have a tattoo that has no meaning.
Uh-huh.
So that's what they represent, which is that kind of paradox idea that I find myself really drawn to, these polarities. So I wanted to have a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about the sort of traditional designs I could get. Skulls were quite appealing to me at the time, but I couldn't settle on one because it was such a commitment. And then I started drawing. I did it myself initially with some India ink and a
like
sewing
a
machine
stick.
Needle. Poke and stick.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
And you got to use the sewing machine needle because the sewing machine needle has the hole in the tip.
Sure. Uh-huh.
That's a great place to ball the thread up.
Yeah.
And it took a long time. I wanted to do a line all the way around my arm. And after about 2 hours, I had only gotten about this inch and a half long line. And so I stopped. And then I really liked it. And I said, this is great. I went home. My mom always said, you can never get a tattoo. And if you're going to get one, you have to be 18. And I don't want to see it. So I had this tattoo. And she didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
And eventually I said, Mom, didn't you see I had this tattoo? She said, oh, well, that doesn't count as a tattoo.
Uh-huh.
So this is great. I have a tattoo that isn't a tattoo.
Yeah.
So then I got a few more. But they don't mean anything.
Yeah.
Well, they do mean something. That's what they meant.
Well, there you go.
They meant nothing.
Yeah. Now, I know you're on tour most of the year. How can fans find the city that you're going to next?
AndrewWK.com/tour.
Uh-huh. So you forgot the www dot.
www.andrewwk.com/tour.
Okay.
See,
all right.
It's the WWK.
Yeah, W's are
fancy. Are there, in the United States, are there cities that are more party-centric than others?
The Midwest seems to enjoy the type of party offerings that I'm presenting.
Mm-hmm.
So Chicago has probably been our most fervent crowds. But the fervency is actually quite consistent. So whether it's the same size of fervent partiers in every town, that can ebb and flow. But there is a beautiful continuity, I'm sure, that you've seen as a performer in the type of intensity. So there's a spirit that mm-hmm. you're offering, and those that are looking for it will come out of the woodwork. There may be more around the Great Lakes for some reason, but New York, Los Angeles, the cities are always do well for us.
It's funny you say Chicago, because in my career, and I'm working in clubs for like just under 300 years,
yeah.
Chicago has always been very, very good to me.
Same.
Good. I'm
always
happy to hear that.
B96 broke our records all the yeah. time. Yeah. They were always a great city. Miami, New York, L.A., San Jose,
oh,
Chicago. Yeah, some randoms. Huh. You'll get some like Corpus Christi.
Where do you guys perform in Chicago now?
Roscoe's. For the Drag Race.
But what about the tour?
House of Blues.
Oh,
is a big
that's a
one.
Beautiful venue, right?
Yeah, Big House of Blues Chicago is a big one for us.
Right.
I can't remember where the last one was, but those size.
Yeah.
Like 2,000 seats.
You know, Chicago's been described as the American city mm-hmm. because of it being in the middle of the country, that mm-hmm. it's not a coast. It wasn't a port. I mean, of course, Lake Michigan is so huge. The Great Lakes are used for shipping and mm-hmm. and they're sort of like a sea, but it also wasn't as old as some of the coastal towns, of course, going on to the East Coast. So it's been described as the most American city, and there's something about the open-minded, free-for-all quality that maybe we don't think exists around the rest of the country as much as it does on the coasts. But there it is in the heart of it all, mm-hmm. in the heartland. It's the heartland city,
mm-hmm.
I suppose. I mean, there's Minneapolis and there's Cleveland and
St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. I guess there's a lot.
Cleveland.
It's just a big city. That's why there's a lot of people there, and it's spread out.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the constriction of space like Manhattan does, right? It can really sprawl suburbs.
So you take a bus out,
yes.
And trucks.
Bus, well, at vans, trailers. For
yeah.
the gear.
How many people?
Three guitar players. Keyboard.
This sounds like a math problem. okay, so.
What is it? Seven band members, including myself?
Seven band. And then what else?
A tour manager that also does sound.
Right.
Someone to sell merchandise.
Right.
Sometimes someone to help with lights.
So you're on 13, one bus.
15 people.
One bus.
As much as 12 people and as few as nine, I'd
and there's
say.
There's usually 12 bunks on a bus.
There is. So we have some junk bunks.
Yeah.
Right.
For storage.
Exactly. And so, and then you guys sleep on the bus, you go to hotels.
We generally sleep on the bus.
Yeah.
It's the best sleep in the world.
It's the best.
Why?
Best.
Why is it?
You get these little, I hate to say them, but we call them coffins. Yeah. You get yeah. in this little kind of coffin. It usually has got a leather or a nice weighted drape,
uh-huh.
and it's your own little space.
It
there's
is.
A little thing in there. For there's a light. There's a vent.
Sometimes a TV.
A plug. Sometimes uh-huh. a TV.
It's a cubby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever hear people pleasuring themselves in the bunk?
It's loud in the bus because of the engine roar, so
yeah.
that helps to block out
yeah.
a lot
you
of that.
You can smell a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
Socks,
so each little each little bunk doesn't have a little window that you can
no,
open?
No, they have a vent.
Right.
But there's no windows. That's it. You go in there
that's
and
the
it's
beauty
dark.
Of it.
Yes. So when you get off stage and you're showered or whatever, you're at the venue, you're done. You just crawl in your bunk, you put your music on, watch TV.
You can shower at the venue?
Usually.
Huh.
You just got to bring the little slippers so you're not putting
oh,
your
right.
feet.
Okay.
We made more effort this last tour we just did a few months ago to shower than I've ever made effort to shower in my life.
It does help with the bus
not.
Issues.
It helps. It's the considerate thing to do.
Yeah.
Because we were getting to a point. We've been doing this for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And it just occurred to us that we want to do this for at least another 20 years.
Right.
And what are the responsible things to do out of consideration for others, for ourselves?
It's to shower and not eat chili.
There you go. Well, yeah. we have a no shit policy on the bus.
No shitting on the bus.
You can't.
Yeah, you can't.
Because the toilets can't handle it.
Right. They can't handle it.
It's just meant for liquids.
Yeah.
Right.
You can pee. And even then.
Yeah, even that.
So we make steady stuff.
What do you mean, even then?
Sometimes urine smells.
It can be, yeah,
right.
strong, very strong smelling stuff. It's that uric acid.
Yeah.
Right. So no asparagus either.
That would be wise. Yeah.
yeah.
Very,
yeah.
very, very considerate.
And what about the bus driver? What happens to him? What does he or her? What are they? Do they dub as security, background dancer, hype man?
It depends
background
on the. If the look, we have had some of the most amazing bus drivers ever.
Same.
We had a bus driver named Larry who was from Louisiana who would. On his days off, set up a grill and make us food and pancakes every morning.
Oh my God, that's
amazing. And he was sort of surly, but he was the sweetest surliness that you could have. Here we go, get.
Uh-huh.
Get the flapjacks. He was difficult
to
understand.
Who would play him? Like, would it be Mr. Farley on
Don Knotts? More rotund than that.
Oh, he's more rotund than
that. Maybe Bill Murray's brother.
Brian Murray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brian Doyle Murray.
He had that kind of hard rot and red face and very passionate and great driver.
They're lifers, those drivers.
That's the thing. They are... He loved everything about it. He loved when the bus broke down. In a way, you could just tell that this was all part of the ordeal, the odyssey that gave it purpose, that he was going to get us to the show.
Right.
And now we have a driver named Tomcat who's even more unbelievable and amazing and who has done security, who has gone up on stage and helped us with gear and moved things that he's not supposed to even move. He would say, Tomcat, you know, go get some rest. And, nope. I'm going to get you. You know,
because
I'm
legally,
here to take care of
that's
you guys.
The same voice as the other guy.
Yeah, it's a little more audible.
Wait a minute. Are they the same person?
In a strange kind of acid trip way, maybe all bus drivers take on a kind of archetypal.
And they
form.
Talk like this. Well, you're going to get that bingo. You take what I give you. Now,
almost all Southern. They are almost all Southern.
Tomcat's from Rochester.
Well, that's
New
not
York.
Southern.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just described a person who is who can prophecy. Mm-hmm. Help me, Michelle.
Prophesies.
Empathic.
Okay.
Who can see there's a problem coming or knows how to work out a problem as it comes? You know, kids today. Don't have that. Do they have that ability?
Some do when you allow it. But there's parents like me who, again, try to do everything for the kids instead of allow them to do
so these you're
things.
Doing them a disservice.
A big disservice. And I learned halfway through, you know, before my daughter's about to turn 18, Lola just turned 16. I learned over the past 5 years that I need to stop doing that shit.
Because you remember the kid, I'm not going to name any names, who was working on our show and they asked him to vacuum. He didn't know how to vacuum.
Correct. Didn't even know what it was.
This? Yeah. Do you find that this is a side topic, but do you find you're out there, you're around young people all the time. Do you find that it's changed?
Not that I can tell. Not that I can tell, but I may not have been looking that closely. I can see people talking about this phenomenon, but I find a great amount of skill in the young people that I see, a great attention to detail on many levels.
From their hair.
and their devices.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. It's about the nobility of responsibility.
Yes, that's what those old bus drivers had.
The dignity.
Correct. Even if it breaks down, it's like, I can handle this.
Yeah.
And it's also a pride.
Self-worth.
Yeah.
And that they identify themselves as being someone who's capable and accountable and reliable.
Yeah.
What a great thing to be. And that it didn't get them anything other than the feeling of saying, I did the right thing for someone else.
That's right. Because how many times have you gotten to a rideshare car and the person driving you around doesn't know where they're going?
Correct.
And they have to rely on a device. And it's like, bitch, it's LA. It's a grid. Just go straight and make a right at Vermont.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think if you were in your body just a little bit, you'd go, oh, I got this. I know how to work this out.
Excellence. That's how my drummer describes it. We have an amazing drummer named Clark. He says, how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Yes.
And he's young. He's the youngest member of our band.
What would Andrew W.K. consider young?
How old is Clark? 24?
Oh, that's a baby.
24's young.
23.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's a quote-unquote millennial, but he skews to that side. And his hobby is to develop personal qualities in himself.
I love that.
So I'm seeing a lot of that, a lot of conscientiousness, a lot of awareness that I have this chance to be a human being.
That's amazing.
And I
got
to do the best thing I can possibly do. It doesn't mean that it all comes right away.
Right.
But the fact that they're even thinking about things on that level and that life isn't about taking it as easy as possible and what can I do to make my life more relaxing or simpler. They're trying to take on as much as they can with a type of urgency, almost an anxious kind of urgency.
Well, it is kind of urgent.
Yeah,
right?
It does feel like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So his name is Clark
Kegley. Yeah. Clark Kent. Clark Kegley.
I want to shake Clark's parents' hand.
Yes.
Yeah,
because they've done a good job.
Well said.
Because that's what this whole process of life and the party life is all about. It's about being here for the experience and not wanting to sort of avoid getting involved
With your own life.
With your own life. That's what this is. That you're here for the journey.
Self-responsibility.
Yes.
Responsibility of self.
Yeah. Well, you guys can catch Andrew WK on the road. Just go to Andrew
W.
www.andrewwk.com/tour
tour
to find the tour. And of course, you can go to Spotify and
see Andrew and Shiri,
iTunes and Sam Goody.
All that. And Goody got it. HWV. Got it.
HMV. Nobody beats the Wiz, Michelle.
Nobody beats the Wiz. Crazy Eddie.
Crazy Eddie's, yes. All of them. Circuit City. You can
Circuit
pick up the CD,
yes!
Over at Circuit City. Oh, yeah.
That's a jingle.
Yeah, it's a jingle.
PC Richards and Richards. Son.
Are they gone?
PC Richards?
No, still, I drove by one the other day.
What about Tops? Do they have it at Tops?
But you could pick it up in Music Land stores.
Yes, Music Land.
Yeah. Great. The album is called You're Not Alone. Well, you are a joy to talk to.
This was the
so
highlight.
So smart.
How
whole
fun.
Album
so
release.
Fun, yes.
I can't admire what you guys do more. The singular, as an entertainer, I dare dream to be as singular and as powerful on every emotional level, because you can make someone cry and you can make someone laugh while they're crying, and that is a rare feat indeed.
Thank you. That is a very kind compliment. And we are, I every season I try to get you on this show.
Oh, thank you.
Every season I try to get you on
this
show.
Too busy touring.
Well, this was even better in a way, because I got to have my, you know, full
real,
blown,
yes,
soak in it for a while.
Yes, right? Yes.
Long segment.
Well, congratulations on the new album, and
give Shiri our love.
Give my love to Shiri.
I will.
And Clark and all the band and the bus drivers,
Tomcat.
And everybody, you know, your mom and your dad,
your brother,
all
the
of
party,
Michigan.
All of Michigan,
my half sisters,
your half sisters. Give them
there.
A big kiss for me.
Thank you.
And good luck with everything. And I'll see you soon. We will see you on this show, because we want you on our show.
Thank you.
All right. So, Michelle, until next time,
yes,
party,
baby.
You party goddess.
I will do that, because the party gods are telling me.
What are the party gods telling you?
They're telling me to go out and go shopping.
Okay.
And they're telling me to not do drugs, because I'm straight edge.
Yes.
And they're telling me to loosen up on my children.
Oh, well, you're not alone, bitch.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Neither
I love you.
I love you, too.
All right. Until next time, I'll see you then.
Okay. Bye.
Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Love yourself. How in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes.
If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Amen.